the Lord, can you? God is good to us. My goodness, what God has done. What a glorious time it is and a glorious thing. And just to get it behind us, those of you that can see, no, Donna has not whipped me, although probably I need to be. I had surgery, and it looks a lot better now than it did. So anyway, God bless you today. I'd like for you to stand in honor to the Word of God. Merry Christmas to you. It's a wondrous time. I was talking to Brother Ken this morning, and I'd been struggling with, you know, what do I call this? I always like to title something. And it's a real Christmas, and he's going to be singing that song that he wrote next week for us. And so this is a prelude to that. A real Christmas. There's a lot of people celebrating this year that they're not celebrating the real Christmas. And we need to always keep that in mind, the commercialization, the traditions. Nothing wrong with traditions, but it's not about that. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to take your finger, turn with us to Luke 2. Put your finger there. Turn back to Matthew 1. So we'll turn to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. Put your finger there. We're going to be turning to that. I want to read the Christmas story or a little bit of part of it. And then turn to Matthew 1, and that's where we'll be reading. God bless you today. If you're here saved today, you've got something to rejoice about. You got a life to live now. But if you're here lost, you're a special guest. You haven't accepted the Lord. You don't know Him in a relationship. There's many that know of Him. They have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart knowledge of who God is. And you have to have that heart knowledge to be saved. And I pray that God will touch you today in this special time. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a private example or a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Father, we thank you so much for the Christmas story, your story, and how it brought salvation to each of us, deliverance, forgiveness. Father, we pray that you would touch every heart that is here. You know where we are. You know where we need to be. We pray, God, that you would take us there. May we never forget the real reason we're here, the real reason that we celebrate, that we rejoice, that we meet together, is because of your Son that you gave. And we give you praise and we give you honor now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I've talked to many people about the Lord, as many of you have, and I've tried to lead them to Christ. And I've told them about the goodness of the Lord, but in a lot of their minds, a lot of their hearts, as you talk to them, you can just see in their mind, in their eyes, Well, God's taking this from me, and God's wanting this from me, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. But that is not the story of Christmas. Christmas is not God taking to you, it's about God giving to you. The Christmas is about God's glory that He gave freely to anyone that wants it, anyone that deserves it. We all don't deserve it, but we want it. We want to be saved. We want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go there. And we need to understand that we got to take this amazing thing that God does, His generosity, and accept it. It's not enough to know about it. It's not enough to know about the gift. You got to partake of the gift. I may have a lot of wonderful gifts around the tree or given to you, and you guys have been so gracious to Don and I, and the gifts that you give and the encouragement and the cards and all that you've done has went beyond anything that we deserve. We don't deserve any of that. But I had to receive those. I had to take those and open those. And the gift of Christmas is no different. You have to receive and take. And we find the generosity of Jesus all through the Bible, the generosity of God shown to us. And John 3:16, I think, summarizes everything about this Christmas season. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave. God doesn't want anything from you. God wants to give you something this morning. He doesn't want to take anything. He needs nothing from you. The Bible says that He wants to take us. We've spent a couple of weeks in Isaiah 9:6 talking about a little bit about all that's found there. And the Bible begins in that verse. It says, "For unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born." See, God is not saying that I need something from you. He is saying, I'm giving this to you, for unto you, to you, and to me. See, this is the gift of Christmas. This is the story behind all that is here, that God is given to you and I. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. God is saying, I'm giving to you a child. I'm giving to you a son, my only begotten son. It's for you, for your glory, for your help. God is for you. This morning, God wants to give you something. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you those things that you can't give in yourself, not take something from you. All the religions of the world, and Christianity is not a religion, but all the religions of the world, they take. You got to give. But Christianity is different. Christianity is something that where God gives to you, God wants you to have something. For God so loved that the Bible says that He gave to you and I. The Bible says that He came to Bethlehem, that little town of Bethlehem, maybe 200 people there in Jesus' time, but now it bustled with a lot of people, and they came from all over because they had to go back to the town that they originated from. They were, Joseph and Mary was of King David's lineage, and King David was born in Bethlehem, and that is the city of David that we talk about, not Jerusalem. And they went back to this little town, this little village. Today, it's several thousand, and it just covers the hills, but back then it was just a little town, a little place with nobody there. Just a little town of Bethlehem, as the song says. But when they came to do something that was real. It was real in that day, in that time. You know, I'm not against traditions. I hear a lot about that now. A lot of Christians are talking about, well, Christmas is just a tradition and giving a... No, it's not. Many of the traditions of Christmas originated in Christianity. I remember reading about St. Nicholas, and St. Nicholas was from the 4th century, and he was orphaned as a baby at a very young age, but he was very rich. His parents left him very, very rich, and he became the bishop of Myra in South Turkey, I think. But anyway, he became a bishop, and he lived his life giving gifts to people and encouraging them, especially to children. He was real. We talk about Santa Claus being St. Nick. Well, they moved that together. They've kind of put it together. But I haven't. It's a tradition that came from Christianity. We talk about the Christmas trees and whether we should have them or not. Or my goodness. And I had a lady 3 or 4 weeks ago, she pulled out a little obscure verse in Jeremiah that I'd read many a times. And it says, don't cut down a tree, it says, and put into your house. But you read that one verse and you say, well, that's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. You surely didn't do that, did you, church? But that is not what it says. I told her, I said, well, read on a couple of verses. And it says to worship that tree. We don't worship the tree. No, no, no. Many of our trees are cut. They're going to be thrown away. It's symbolic of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic of what he did. First German brought into his house, it was recorded, Martin Luther, you've heard of him. Martin Luther, he wrote the thesis and nailed it to the Roman chapel, you know, and he was persecuted because of that. Well, he took the first tree in, and later on, years later, they began to decorate it with candles, with lights. Now, you're talking about safe. How many of you have got a candle that you've got probably 50 candles on your Christmas tree, and you're just hoping, as one lady found out, not to have a possum in your tree? And my goodness, think about that. Candles being lit and the fires that would be started. But that's how they honored that. And it was the light of the world. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It was type of him. It was type of what he was. I'm not against that. It originated in Christianity. Traditions are not wrong. Having Christmas trees are not wrong. There's nothing wrong about it. Show me where it is. We don't worship it. It's a sign. The evergreen trees, we take it in. It's a sign of everlasting life. That's what it stands for. The life that Christ gives. The lights that we put on it are a type of him being the light of the world. And that's what they stood for. You originally were candles. But now we've moved to nicer lights that are fireproof, hopefully. The presence underneath. Speak of him as being the gift to the world. That is the real Christmas. It originated in Christianity. That is what we do it for. We need to understand that God talked about that. In the 1600s, Germans brought us a lot of the originality to it. A German candy company made the candy cane. They made it at the first very white. There was no red, no color to it. It's just white. They shaped it in a shepherd's crook to identify with Jesus Christ. Later on, it came into America, and the Pennsylvania Germans came in, and they brought that tradition with them. And here in America, they added the red stripe. You know what that's for. That's for the blood of Christ. And they added the red stripe. But it's a tradition, yes. And we bought candy canes, we call them, or Christmas crooks, as they used to call them, the shepherd's crook. We bought them and we've ate them. I've ate a couple of them this week. They were pretty good. But it's all from Christianity. It's not wrong to have those. Traditions are not wrong unless they take away from who he is. And see, we need to understand that we make a big deal about nothing, and we need to always keep the real thing the real thing. And when we do that, the Lord is blessed. See, we need to understand that the real Christmas traditions, that many of them are rooted in Christianity. So go ahead and enjoy those. But never, never forget that the reason we're here is because of Jesus. The reason we celebrate it is because of him and what he done. The Bible says that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The Bible tells you and I that he became a servant to us, that he became a little baby and was born in a manger, laid in a manger, and then he arose from that, and he became the Son of God that died for our sins. That's the meaning of Christmas. A lot of times we celebrate Christmas this, and people, I've had them argue with me this week, this very week, a Christian came to me, and she said, we don't even need to celebrate on Christmas, on December. We need to celebrate in September. That's when he was born. Well, that's when we think he was born. But you need to understand, 9 months before September, when he was really, truly, probably born, is December the 25th. See, the birth is not the miracle. The Immaculate Conception didn't happen then. It happened in December, 9 months before. People say abortion's okay, and we argue, and we fuss, and we fight. There's no argument there whatsoever in the Word of God. Amen. You can be liberal if you want to. You can believe anything that you want to, but it doesn't make it right. From conception, this was the immaculate birth. From conception, our children are born. I'm almost 61 now. I know I don't look it, even though this is. But I'm really 9 months older than what I call myself. And you are too. We say, how much is gas? Well, it's $2.75. Actually, it's $2.75.9, so it's $2.76. We don't like to add that other, that 9 tenths. We forget sometimes to add the 9 months. We need to understand what God said and how He blessed it. And the Bible says that, and I like that. And we need to understand that that's what the Christmas story is about. And we don't need to allow all this commercialization, all of this bad traditions, and there are some, to cloud what God did for us on that day. The real Christmas needs to be celebrated and rejoiced, and we need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, when we do, it's wonderful. Now, you're here, and you're here in one of four different ways. You'll receive Him today one of four different ways. And we find Him here in the Christmas story. You're going to be impassive or indifferent. A lot of people, they receive them that way there. The Magi, they came. And Micah 5:2 says that they came because they understood what it meant. That there was going to be a virgin born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they followed the star there. How do they know that? Well, hundreds of years before, Daniel had written down all of these things that this was going to happen at a certain time of the coming of the Messiah. He was one of their most important, although he was a Jew, one of the most important men that ever lived in their lives. And they held him in high esteem. And these magi, these intellectual people, they came. They were rich. They had a lot. We don't know if they were 3 or 30. We don't know how many they were, but they came. They came because they listened to Daniel. They listened to the Word of God, and God showed Himself there at the real Christmas. And this baby was born, and they came. But they had a head knowledge. They didn't have the heart knowledge that they needed. See, you need to have and must have a heart relationship to be saved, to know what it's all about. It's just a story up here, but down here it becomes life. It becomes real. And it becomes alive in our hearts. See, there's many that they're impassive about it, indifferent about it. They wouldn't travel. The Magi came. Remember when they came? They came to the king there, and the king asked his trusted advisors, those that was in the know. He says, "Is this true?" "Oh yeah, it is. It's supposed to happen in Bethlehem." "Yeah, yeah." They knew all about it. They had the head knowledge. But they wouldn't even travel 6 miles down to Bethlehem to see if these things were true. See, there's a difference in people. Some know that this thing is true. This is a true story, and someday I need to accept it. But unless you have a heart knowledge, unless it moves down to your heart, down into your life, into your soul, it'll do you no good. You can know all about Jesus. You can know that He came, and you can believe that He died for you. But if you don't accept Him into your heart, believe that what He did was for you, then it's no good. A lot of people today in this world, they live in a time of indifference, a time that they're just, you know, they go through. "I'm going to celebrate Christmas. I believe it's for Jesus, but that's all it is to me. I feel sorry for you." Oh my, you have so much more that you can get. But there's also an ignorance. Where Jesus was born was Bethlehem, a little bitty town, insignificant. He wasn't born in Rome. He wasn't born in Athens. He wasn't born in any of those other places. He was, or even in Jerusalem. Bethlehem. You know why He was born in Bethlehem? Number one, because that's what was prophesied 700 years earlier, that the Messiah would come and be born there. And Jesus fulfilled every one of those. You think all of this stuff just happened? It just came together? Caesar Augustus has decided, "I'm going to tax, and I'm going to have all of them go to their hometown, their locality, from where their family was born from. And from there, they'll pay their taxes, they'll stay a few days, and they'll go home, and nothing will be the better." Yet at that very time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant with God. Think about that. That's awesome. That's something. I've even talked to somebody this month that said, "Well, I don't believe that happened." I do. I do. If God could speak the worlds into existence, He can have a baby born, and He can do anything He wants to do. And he chose to do it this way. This is the way God chose to do it. And it's wonderful what he did. When you think about it, it's just awesome. It's astounding. It's beyond imagine. It's beyond our imagination. I couldn't even think that, but he did. He did it. The Bible says here that there's going to be an ignorance about it, though. Do you realize that this little sleepy town of 200 became several thousand people during this time? People coming all over to Bethlehem because that's where they originated from. And they came into this little town, but none of them realized that God was with them. As this mother came in and Joseph came in, as they walked through Bethlehem, they never realized that God was there. Really, he was there. It's real. They never even know it. They were ignorant of it. You know, there's people today that are ignorant of that God is after you. He's wanting to save you. He's wanting to give you eternal life, and he's coming again. And they're ignorant of that fact. At least they act like it. They don't make a relationship with him. They play church. They read the Bible when they need something. They pray when they have to have something. They lean on him when they need him and then forget him when they don't. And they're just ignorant of it all. The Bible said that God once looked at ignorance and just winked at it. But now he calls everybody to repentance because he sent his son to die for your sins and mine. We can't be in ignorance anymore. We know the story. We know the Bible said that he's shed abroad in our hearts that there's a God and that Jesus died. We know that. Are we going to accept him and do that? See, we can live in ignorance and we can die in ignorance, and many do. But there's also, there was a resistance that was there. And I think we find the greatest resistance in Herod. You know, when you look at King Herod, you see somebody that he didn't care about Jesus. He didn't care about anybody but himself. But if it was going to affect him, he was going to do something about it. And he resisted this thing that was there. I think it was intimidated. I think it was insecure. He killed everybody around him. He didn't want anybody to take his kingship, and he thought that they could. He had no confidence in nothing. But he was willing to take and make an edict that all boys, little boys, 2 years and under, would be murdered. That's how far he was willing to go in his resistance. People today, they don't go that far. They're not going to do those things. But they'll turn him aside. They'll say no to it. They'll resist the calling of the Spirit of God. And they won't let him in to lead their lives. Because they want to do what they want to do, and they don't want no one telling them what to do. So there's too many today thinks that when you receive the Lord that you got to give all of this, got to give up everything. No, 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 you receive everything. I testify to it. The greatest day in my life was when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I read this week of a man from Arizona. He had been taken in a murder, been implicated, received life in prison. Been there 19 years. But while he was in there, he came to know the Lord and was called to preach. And God used him mightily in the prison that he was in. Because of the steps that's been taken toward identifying DNA and everything else in the last few years, they pulled him up and they exonerated him. They forgave him of all that he had done, but he had not done anything. And I've got his story here And I want to read it. I love to tell about it. He's put in. He was 17 years old. And he dropped out of school, didn't know how to read or write at 17. And he got into trouble, became part of a gang, was implicated for murder, put into prison for life. And he said this about himself after the 19 years. He wrote this. Many had given up on me, but God never did, and God has never given up on you. He said, I was told that I would never amount to anything, but God says otherwise. I was told I would find death in prison, but instead I found eternal life. Oh, I like that. They came to him and they said, we're going to pull back your case, and through the evidence and everything, he was exonerated, and and his sentence was dropped, but he had lost 19 years of his life. This is what he wrote, and I finish. He said, only the grace of God can enable a man to talk like that. Listen to this. I have been so overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy of Christ. I've been given a wonderful peace that surpassed all understanding. I am absolutely convinced, had I not come to prison, my life would have been completely devastated beyond repair. It's now been 19 years of incarceration, and these years have been the best years of my life. I am truly blessed beyond measure. Wow. Only God can do that. See, we need to understand that you've got one way of thinking here today. You're looking at things that are happening in your life. You're looking at things that have happened in your life. And you're resisting the call of the Lord. There's many of you here today that out of ignorance, you're just walking your own way, doing your own thing, thinking that it's all right. It's not. There's many that they go through life and they hurt. But there's a fourth type that they accept. They accept. See, the Magi accepted what Daniel had told them hundreds of years before, and they moved on that by faith. And the star led them to Bethlehem. The shepherds were told the story about Jesus and what Jesus has done, that now there's a Savior born as both Lord and God. They moved by faith. They accepted, and it took them to Bethlehem. See, when you believe on Jesus Christ, it's going to take you to God Himself. When you believe that this Christmas story is not just about a tradition, it's not commercialization of gaining money and presents, it's all about money. No, it's all about God. That's what it's about. Then you'll accept what Jesus said that He wanted to do, and you'll allow Him to do that in your life. See, I love this. Over and over it says, but unto you, the child is given. See, God over and over here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, He said, unto you this son is born. Unto you. A lot of people, they'll say that, and they look at that and they'll say, well, that's bigoted, that I'm only come to God through Jesus. Well, that's what Jesus said. You say, well, you're narrow-minded. No, the Word of God is. See, if you could come any other way other than Christ, He would have never died. He did not had to. The Bible said there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, meaning there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You won't come any other way. I've talked to so many, they'll say, well, Brother Rudy, I believe that my good is outweighing my bad. No, your good is way down here. Your bad is way up here. How good do you have to be to go to heaven? I'm not interested in what somebody will say. I'm not interested in what society says or liberal people say, that you can come any way you want to go, just believe in God. No. Go to the Bible. Go to something that is established, something that doesn't change. You can believe that. They said, well, Brother Rudy, I'm a good person. Well, the Bible said there's none good. I believe the Bible. Just how good are you? I love what Ray Comfort does. I do it. I've done it to several people, and I just love to see their eyes wide open, you know. And he'll say, well, how good do you think God thinks that you are? I think He thinks I'm pretty good. Does He? Well, He's got some commands that He said for you to follow. How have you followed them? Thou shalt not steal. How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand because we'd have everybody raising their hand, then have some that lied that didn't, but have you ever stolen anything? The Lord reminded me the other day, I'd went into Webb's store when I was a kid, and my daddy wouldn't buy me no bubble gum, and I got me some bubble gum, carried it out in my pocket. And I thought to myself, I need to repay that with interest. It always costs more when you pay later. But I can't. They're closed. I can't redeem myself. Lord, forgive me of that. You say, that's a piece of bubble gum. How much do you have to steal to be a thief? Piece of bubble gum. And some of you have stolen a whole lot more than that. You say, Brother Rudy, have you ever told a lie? Have you? You think you're pretty good, but have you ever told a lie? A few white lies. I've told a few things. You men, you've told a lie in the last 2 or 3 weeks to your wives. Honey, how do I look in this? Sweetheart, beautiful. I know. We do that. And brother, you're newly married. You need to learn that quickly. How many of you men have looked at somebody since you've been married or since you've been born, the opposite sex with the wrong thought? We allow that thought to continue too long. You know that. And I looked at that person, and they agreed with all three of those, and I said, you just told me that you're a lying, thieving. My goodness, we're not good. You're not good. The Bible's real, and it's true. There's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned. We've all sinned from the pulpit to the pew. That's why we need a Savior. And what I love here is Jesus said, I'm that Savior. That is the real story of Christmas, that God sent forth His Son unto us. But I like it here. The Bible tells us over and over that He done it for everybody. Whosoever will shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the whole world. Red and yellow, black and white. We're all the same in His sight. See, it may be a little bigoted. It may be a little narrow, and it is. Jesus said, I'm the way. You've got to come by me. But anybody can come. No matter who you are today, no matter what you've done, no matter what is in your life, no matter the regrets and the hurts of the past, no matter what you're struggling with now, no matter what that the future may hold, you can come to Him now. That is the story of Christmas. That God died once for all. That all we have to come is through Him. The Bible calls three names there. There's no adjectives of the Lord in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. He comes as Savior. That is one who delivers you from your trouble. That's what Savior means. But He's also Lord. Lord means that He's master of it all, that He's in control of it all. He's in control of your life right now. See, He came intentionally. It was intentional that He caused Caesar Augustus to call for the taxes to be born, and they had to go back. And it was intentional that Mary became pregnant right at the right time, and she came to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecies, all of them, all of them. 300 prophecies was fulfilled. 300, some of them hundreds and hundreds of years old. And Christ fulfilled them all intentionally. And He will intentionally save you according to His word if you'll come to Him right now, here today. See, you may be thinking, Lord, I know a little bit about it, but I don't know a lot, and I'm just going to go along my life and hopefully end for the best. You wouldn't do that with nothing in your life. If you was traveling down a road and I looked at you and I said, listen, the bridge is out down there. You got your family with you. You don't need to go any farther. It'd be kind of dumb to keep going along the same road. The Bible says over 600 times He tells you that death is ahead. Hell is ahead. Eternal doom is ahead. Why don't you change paths? Would you stand here this morning? The real Christmas. We need to celebrate. We need to enjoy what God has given us. There's nothing wrong with that. But you and I need to never forget the real reason we're here is because of Jesus Christ. He's the reason for the season. And Brother Raymond, would you come? Ethan, would you come? Just a quick song. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to be saved. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done everything for you. He's given you everything. He didn't come to take from you. He came to give to you life, peace, joy, hope, everything. He came to give to you. Would you bow your heads? Where do you stand? Have you accepted? Or do you just not care? Do you have a head knowledge and you believe in this thing? You even come to church some and you read your Bible some. You even try to pray some, but you've not got a heart change. It's not real to you. Let it be real to you today. Would you come and receive Christ? Would you come and allow Him to change your life? Would you allow Him to give you the best thing that you ever got? Even a man in prison said, I'd rather stay here 19 years and know Him as to have had my freedom and not know Him. As we sing today, the invitation's to you. It's open. A child of God, you may need to come and pray and say, God, help me to focus on You more so this year than in any time in my life. Help me to give myself to You. If you're lost, receive the gift that God has for you today. Brother, would you come? Is there a need this morning? Is there a need? Is there a need? How many of you can come? Is there one? Is there one? As Ethan sings for us, do you have a need today? In Jesus' name. Is there some coming? Is there others? You have a need this morning? The real Christmas. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. They might be the sons of God. I'm glad one day I came to Him. I accepted Him. I was saved by Him. Forgiven by Him. What a joy that is. Praise the Lord.